Glory to God. You may be seated. Dear Pastor, please.
If you need a Bible, if you're a visitor here and you don't have a Bible, we have some extras, and you could that way you could follow along in the message. Anyone here today that does not have a Bible, just lift your hand and we'll be happy to give you one. Okay, right here. Bobby down here in the front. Okay. All right. Might take a minute, Alice. We got to go downstairs. Our supply ran low there in the sound room. Okay. All right. While Bobby goes to get the Bible, most of you here already know Brother Jack Patterson. You probably don't know him if you're a visitor, but Brother Jack is a dear friend of ours for many, many years, a friend to this church, a friend to this ministry, and he's been a blessing to this preacher, and I love him in the Lord, and I'm thankful for his friendship. He's over the years, I've learned an awful lot from him, and his life has been just a blessing to watch, and his ministry has been very, very important and necessary in this country. Most of you know Brother Jack has had a ministry many, many years, been involved in homes for young people, troubled young people, teenagers, and even adults. Right over here on the side, Bobby. Thank you. And God has delivered him from some recent troubles over the last year or two, some legal problems. The state came in and tried to destroy his ministry, and the Lord has helped him to weather that storm, and he's still going strong. And we thank the Lord for him. So, brother, you come at this time and preach to us. You give the Word of God your undivided attention now. Amen?
Thank you. All right. All right. I think with an introduction like that, I'll sign my own Bible. Amen. Let me get a little. All righty. Good to be back here. Amen. Well, I've lost a few ounces since I've seen you last. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to pick up a few more today. Amen. This pulpit's wide enough, just not tall enough. Good night. I got to preach like McGill Gorilla up here today. Good to see the white Stevie Wonder in the back there. Amen. Brother John, how you doing with the shades on? Amen. God bless you. Well, it's good to be here. We went down to New York yesterday. I think I got cussed out about five times. It's always the short guys want to cuss you out. Good night. But we're there just to be a blessing to them. Then I had two guys come up. We had to go pray for them. And, of course, the preacher, he's always off talking to somebody by themselves. I couldn't get away from him. He was gone, feeding the poor out there. And it's a joy to be. Of course, Miss Margaret had little Madison with her. And Brother Mike Lewis, one of our guys, came through the ranch, I don't know, good night, 10 years ago. Probably one of the worst crackheads I've ever had in my life. He was out street preaching yesterday. Amen. Go and sin no more. Don't do it again. And he got right with the Lord, and so it's just a blessing there. And of course, my wife Karen's here with me this morning. And we got our dog Buster. He's watching the RV over there. He's a Dachshund. He's my German lowrider. Amen. He thinks he's a German shepherd. And but I have to remind him, hey, little sucker, man, that German shepherd will take your head off in one bite. You'll be Alpo. And but good to be here. I still talk fast. I am not a redneck. I'm a white neck. So don't let my accent fool you, okay? I'm not a Joe Bob or June Bug or someone. I'm back in Detroit, and I'm back in Motown action, amen? I'm up there with them Muslims up there. I've eaten more shawarma and chicken and everything else up there. Changed my mind, I'm shawarma'd out. But thank God for Wendy's, amen? But we're good to be here. That's my backup burger right there. Last night we went to Harold. We Harold out, amen? And it's funny when I walk in, they all look how big that guy is. They just all stop and look. Bum, 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 bum. He's back. And one kid walked to me one time and said, man, you're big. I said, you're ugly. U-G-L-Y, you got no alibi. You ugly, ugly, ugly. You even got gator breath. And so, we're glad to be here with you this morning. And it's just a joy to see many of your faces there and so forth, and all the girls getting big. Y'all married yet? Looking for husbands? What are y'all doing? I'll find you one. Hey, I got a five. Sold right there. Amen. I'll find you a truck driver with buck teeth. Amen. God bless you. Amen. He said, give me a kiss on my tonsils itch. God bless you. Amen. But we're glad to see the girls and the boys. Saturday Night Live back there with the pinhead with Sarah Palin glasses. Good to see him. He get married yet? I got to find you a wife. Good night. All right, come on. Come work for me. Be my office manager. I'll find you. Henrietta, amen. Missing 2T from Alabama, amen. God bless you. We'll go to Waffle House at 2 o'clock in the morning, find you a wife, amen. God bless you. But I love the kids. Love cutting up with them. I'm doing a lot of revivals with young people in Christian schools and so forth. And I'm just real with them. I'm still a kid. I act at 60. I'll be 60 next year. I wanted to be 60 so bad. Oh, I couldn't stand 50, but now I love 60. But I'm not growing old. I'm enjoying myself. Amen. I like a one man said, some people die at 30, but they bury them at 80. Hello, Brother Veach. We met him like that. I bless God. I ain't quitting on the inside. And help folks, get them saved, and keep eating at Harold to change your life. And Kites. Kites is my other restaurant. I got to hit that. We're going to hit Kites in the millennium. Amen. God bless you. Well, open your Bible anywhere. It's all good. Exodus chapter 14, please. Exodus chapter 14. And I thoroughly enjoyed being with Pastor Veach and Miss Margaret. And they were in my Jeep. He made me drive down to New York yesterday in my little Jeep. And I scared half a death driving down there at night. I'm from Detroit, but I still get scared going in the city. Often say, my neighborhood was so rough in Detroit for driver's ed, we used stolen cars. That's how bad it was. Amen. How many of y'all know Bill Grady? You ever hear that name? Bill Grady is from New York. Hey, Brother Brian. Bill Grady's from New York. And I got tired of hearing how bad New York was. New York's bad. Oh, we're tough there. We're tough there. I said, let me bring this little sucker to Detroit on a Friday night. About 20 years ago, about 3 o'clock in the morning. We're on the way over to Herb Noe's church here, Dr. Ruckman. I took Brother Grady downtown Detroit 20 years ago. It was still swinging downtown. And I took him there about 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I saw some druggies over here. I probably shouldn't confess this to you, but I was just playing with them. And I went like this. He wants some weed. And come on, it's funny, okay? And here comes some guy up at the window trying to sell Grady some dope. Grady's a preacher. It's funny. It's a joke, okay? It's funny. And his wife didn't think so the next day on that phone call. I went over there to Dooley's Hot Dog to get me the best Dooley's hot dog is in Detroit, by the way, from Crowe. You want a good food, you got to go see a foreigner. Americans can't do it unless you're Italian, amen? And I got to cover myself here. And I'm in the store over there, and here's Grady over there screaming at this guy, I'm a Baptist preacher. Get away from my stinking window. I'll kill you, you know. And so I got a bag full of hot dogs and come out back in the van. Grady says, you know what happened to me? I said, what? He says, some guy tried to sell me dope. No. They did that to you. You're a man of God. What'd you tell him? He said, no, I bought a nickel bag. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm pity. It was a dime bag. And God bless you. Oh, I had a little sense. Hey, I got off of dope because I got some hope, amen. And I'm glad I got saved and got off that junk and everything else and going on. Well, still helping people and working with their broken lives of all walks of life. And I wish somebody else would come in here and run this place, but they're not here yet. I'll just stay here till they get here. And let me stay a little bit where the Lord brought me from. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you bless the service today. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the blood of Christ. And thank you, Lord, for not only dying for us, but getting up out of that grave. And then at the right hand of the Father, Romans chapter 8, you're praying for us. My soul, what a deal, what a deal. Thank you for Christ, Lord. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. In Christ's name I pray, amen. About the age of 12, I was on the way to a gang fight one day, and I heard the gospel of Christ, and I heard it through a chick track. I threw the chick track down, went to the gang fight, and 12, 13 years old. And I met Jimmy Hoffa when I was about 5 years old. I didn't know who he was until I was about 15. And my dad told me about him and so forth. And but one day, a knock came at our door from the Temple Baptist Church. And long story short, my whole entire family trusted Christ. My brother got saved. He used to pack a 45. Now he packs a 66. The Word of God. Amen. And he got saved. My dad got saved. My mother got saved. I was the last one to get saved. I went down to, I was in jail one night, and my brother had been witnessing to me, and I just turned 18 years old, and in that jail cell, the Lord said, this is it right here. This is it right here. I was in the tank there with about 20 guys. I'm looking around, Brother Veach, and just looking around this whole, and I've heard the gospel, and I'd already been down to Pensacola, been there about 3 months, sat under Dr. Ruckman, down there partying, drinking, stealing, robbing people at a gas station, you know, cutting their fan belts, cutting their tires. Oh, you need a new set of tires here. Psh, ice picking the tire. And I was a scoundrel. I wasn't a pervert. I was just a wicked guy before I got saved. And then I was in that jail cell. The Lord pricked my heart. to go back down to Pensacola, Florida. I got out of that jail cell. 3 days later, I was in Pensacola, Florida. I was looking for God. And I started asking about salvation. And then I went to church one Sunday afternoon. And a girl named Mrs. Nanette Garrett came to me. And she said, "Jack, are you a Christian?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "If you don't get saved, God's going to put you in hell." And how many of you flip your pillow over at nighttime because it's cooler on the other side? Let me see that. Amen. God bless you. I keep mine in the freezer. Amen. It should kill off a little bit. And that night, I couldn't sleep that night. I knew if I'd have died, going to hell. And about 2 days later, I was at Brent Baptist Church. I was going over to a church dedication service. And from the time I left that church parking lot to that church in Foley, Alabama, I bowed my heart and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And immediately inside my heart, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace they cannot take away. Hey, something happened that day. I was sitting in the car one day, puffing away, you know, and making donuts. With the smoke, amen. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. I see all the halos on your head. God bless you, amen. I see a few horns popping up too, amen. And I sitting out there, and the Lord said, "What are you doing puffing them cigarettes?" "I don't know." He said, "Get rid of them." So I got rid of them. Didn't have to pray about it. Amen. Got rid of them and come up to Marlboro country. No, I went to Heaven's country. And got rid of them smokes. I like what Roloff said about smoking a cigarette. He said, "You got a sucker on one end and hell at the other." Amen. And I've been doing all right this morning. Come on now. I don't mean to scare you. I'm here to encourage you in the faith. Amen. And about 2 weeks later, Brother Veach, I was going over a 3 mile bridge. And inside a notebook, Brother Troy, I had a notebook with any contact you wanted inside. I'd only been down that city about 2 months. Pensacola. Had any contact. I was a connector on the streets. Let me guys know what I'm talking about. Amen. I had all those numbers. Anything you wanted. Dope. The nightclubs. The blind pigs, we called them. After hour joints. I got saved two months after I got saved. I was going over a 3 mile bridge in Pensacola, Florida. And nobody was with me except the Holy Ghost. Amen. I took that notebook and slung it over the bridge. I don't need that no more. Amen. What I did, I severed some ties from Egypt. I severed some ties from this old stinking world. I hate this stinking world. And all this pleasures and joys and cynical lifestyle. And man, I got rid of that junk. But you know what I'm going to preach to you today? God had a time getting Israel out of Egypt, but he had a worse time getting Egypt out of Israel. And we still got that problem. But that's where I got saved at. And then about a year later, heard a guy preach named Lester Roloff. And brother, how many of you ever heard that name before? Brother Lester Roloff. And I was sitting down there in the pew with about four or five guys. "Preacher, can I take my coat off? Fat people sweat, amen." I feel sorry for you skinny guys out there. God bless you. I saw a fellow the other day, and I said, "Man, you're so skinny, you look like you've been through a famine." He said, "Yeah, you're so fat, you look like you're the cause of it." Amen. Amen. God bless you. And but hey, I stepped on the scale the other day. I'm trying to be on a diet. I'm trying to be when you come. You cross that Verizamo, man, the menu changes. Amen. And stepped on the scale the other day. It said one at a time, please. Amen. Your day's coming. You're getting up there. You'll get rid of that Coke bottle one day and get you a 3 liter pitcher, amen, for a body. But I thank God I heard Lester Roloff preach that night. I was on about the fourth row. Dr. Ruckman took about 200 folks from the Brent Baptist Church. And that night, Lester Roloff preached about 2 hours. He got done preaching and he looked at the audience. And he went, "Once in the stillness of the late midnight hour." I had about 50 girls. I'm like, whoa, wow. Good night. I'm looking. Man, I was single. I'm looking. A bunch of Lonnie Taylor, Rick Sal, they're all looking. He got single once in the stillness. "And every hour and every day and every moment and every way I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul and I'm singing his praises wherever I go. But I'll never forget that sweet night on my knees. Hey, the joy of that hour, it's never left me. It's life's sweetest memory. memory. This old life can I raise. I'm saved by His mercy, and I'm redeemed by His grace. Well, every hour and every day and every moment and every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul, and I'm singing His praises wherever I go. Man, before I knew it, I was at the altar. Oh, God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? He said, I want you to preach. I tried to talk him out of it. Lord, I can't talk. I can't write. I don't know who I am. He said, I know that. I know that, long as you remember that. Amen. All my preaching buddies all got doctor's degrees. Doctor this and doctor that and doctor this and doctor that. What's wrong with it? Most of them believe it. I told a preacher friend of mine, I said, what do you think about these guys? I got one Pacific Guard mission. I use it sometimes. And the lady one time said, judge said to me one time, I don't like doctor preachers coming here with doctor's degrees. And I think they're a bunch of phonies. I said, well, tell that to Martin Luther King. She said, next question. Didn't want to hear that one. Yeah, come on now. Don't dial me now. The judge said, in my chambers, please. And she told the lawyers, she said, you tell Reverend Patterson, touche. he shut me up, amen. I was in the courtroom, of course. I do a lot of courtroom appearance. By the way, I just took in 5 pastor's sons just a few months ago off of dope. 1 week's time. 5 PKs, 1 week. See, nobody's immune from a broken heart. See, we're trying to impress people we don't like with money we don't have. And you think your happiness is going to come from without. No, preacher said it right. Your sin starts from within, and your happiness starts from within. Like Roloff said, your happiness does not depend on happenings. Amen. We doing all right? Amen. And I get most of our young folks who want to act like Eminem, and Lady Gaga is a big thing. Gaga, Goo-Goo, whatever her name is. She looks like a Goo-Goo. She is goofy. She's got to go by the gas station to get air in her head. Ding, 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 ding. Amen. Come on. We're doing all right? Hope I didn't hit on your hero this morning. Amen. Lady Gaga. You're a Kool-Aid drinker if you like her. God bless you. That's something wrong with your membranes in your head. As they say down south, your cheese fell out of your sandwich. Amen. God bless you. Amen. But on the other hand, in the South, I got to deal with them kind of people. You ever go to Walmart at the first of the month? Everybody got their check? Hello? And you got Susie Spandex, weighs 350. She's walking there and she got flesh hanging out both sides. She looked like a can of biscuits half open. God bless you. Amen. So we get it up north and we get it in the South. God bless. We're doing all right today. God bless you. Hey, I just send Karen and Karen, go get them. Go to Walmart for me. God bless you. I sit outside, me and Buster, listen to Inspirations. Amen. God bless you. And then I, it's the funniest thing to see people. Now, they want, the 60-year-olds want to act 20-year-olds, and 20-year-olds want to act 60-year-olds. And it's funny. Amen. Hey, you ask me how tall I am on the streets, it's going to cost you 5-minute witness. They said, how tall are you? I said, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And one guy said, I didn't expect all that. I just want to know how tall you were. Bless God. You're going to talk to me? I'm going to talk to you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You know what they say? The smaller you are, the bigger you are, the farther you fly. The bigger you are, the farther you fall. I said, the smaller you are, the farther you fly. Don't mess with me. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. All right, let me preach to you. I'm getting hungry. Every time I swallow, my stomach says, thank you. Amen. God bless you. Well, one of these days we're going to get out. I got my glasses on. All I can see is my Bible because I couldn't find my preaching glasses. So if you're making faces at me, I can't see you. I got my Jeremiah glasses on. He said, don't be afraid of the faces, so I can't see your face. Amen. God bless you. Over here in Exodus chapter 14 in your Bible. Exodus chapter 14. And, of course, I'm just cutting up and funning with you a little bit, and then I'm going to rip your face off. And excuse me, Exodus 13. I'm going to read you some verses here and kind of encourage your hearts this morning. Good to be saved this morning. Glad to see the young girl get baptized. And good to see the little kids chasing the things of God. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that. Well, if we can just keep you kids innocent. Amen. That's what I can do. If you can keep your mind clean and your heart clean, you'll be all right. those, you know where Christ was crucified at? I went to Jerusalem with Brother Speech. The most holy spot, of course, I like a Roloff said. I said, Roloff, you going to Israel, the Holy Land? He said, I'm living in the Holy Land. I read it every day, the Word of God. Well, we went to Calvary, the place of a skull. That's what it means. You know where our problem's at today? It's in the place of a skull. It's in our mind. Perception about people. Misperception about yourself. Why is it we're trying to, like I said a while ago, impress people we don't like? You know, sometimes we go home thinking, what's that guy thinking about me for? Then we stay awake thinking about what they're thinking about. Then we find out they're not even thinking about us. So then we stay awake all night long thinking about something they weren't even thinking about. But you lost your sleep. Do I get a witness out there? Or on the job, you know. Amen. And just, hey, brother, just bless, put on the blood and eat a bologna sandwich and go to bed. I tell you, this is funny. I like, well, ladies, let me help your marriage out. Make your husband a thick sandwich. Get rid of the see-through ham sandwiches, okay? See-through the ham, okay? Amen. I'm trying to help you, fellas. Come on now. Don't die on me now, bless God. I made me I didn't have Harold's meat. I didn't have all the kosher stuff. I had just good old Oscar Mayer bologna, about 4 or 5 pieces of bologna on there, and some lettuce and tomatoes, and some mayonnaise, and some hot sauce. And I was going to go back in my room and watch John Wayne, The Sands of Iwo Jima. And I walked back and had my sandwich behind my back. And about that time, I heard little feet going on the floor. I said, that sounds like Buster. And all of a sudden, it was a bird, it was a plane. Whoom! It was Buster into my sandwich, amen. He looked like a little alligator got a hold of it, just like this, you know. And he took out a little alligator bite, and he ran back the other way, and he was doing all right until he got to that Tabasco sauce. He couldn't breathe or nothing. He said, Daddy, you messed me up. I said, leave my stinking sandwich alone, boy. That really happened. I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth. Amen. God bless you. You know all dogs go to heaven. I ain't going to tell you where all cats go. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere. Exodus chapter 13 this morning, verse 17. And it came to pass. Aren't you glad it didn't? Whatever you're going through this morning didn't come to stay. And it came to pass. You hang in there. You're going to get through it. We're going to get over it. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. He's going to take them a different route. Don't you hate it when sometimes God changes your path? God changes your direction? I don't like it sometimes. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we got to do is follow. But he's going to change their path to do something. We're going to see that. That's what I'm going to speak on to you this morning. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That was the closest way out. But sometimes the easiest way is not the right way. Amen. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent. That's what the word pent means, change their mind, turn around. And venture the people to repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Aren't you glad God knows our weaknesses? That Bible says he remembers us that we are but dust. Why do we remember what God forgets? Amen. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up and harnessed 5 across out of the land of Egypt. Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Thank God for the light. Aren't you glad that God gave you light through the gospel of Jesus Christ? God gave you water. Hey, many a night I went to them old gang fights in Detroit and doubting if I die, I'll go to hell. I knew back then at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, I knew for sure that if I die, I was going to burn. I didn't care, but I had a fear of it. But thank God when I got saved, all doubts gone. It's all taken away. Thank God for the blood of Christ. And verse 21, and the Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud, and to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. God won't leave his people without light. Hey, glory to God. When's that time to develop that? And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by the night. Verse 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood of Christ. Help me be a blessing to you folks here today. Thank you for this church, Lord, for what it represents and Lord, remember Mel Sabaka, the many faithful years he's been here. And my goodness, Brother Veachin, and years ago, Bob Militello, a good friend of mine, attended here. Lord, it's been a great water hole here for the gospel's sake. Now still going out all around the world, the Philippines and different places, the mission trips coming up. Thank you, Lord, for the heart of these people and this dear pastor. Help me be a blessing today for your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And it's God's coming on the scene here. What's taking place is God's fixing to take Egypt, Israel out of Egypt. And he's going to show some things different here. And God's going to use some things here that to do some things because he's God. But look with the Israelites. They didn't like what God was doing. Look at verse 12. Look at 14:12. It is not just the word that we told thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Sometimes that's sad to say, that's what I saw yesterday. I saw people say, leave me alone. I saw people on the street, leave me alone, leave me alone. I'm glad somebody came after me with the gospel of Christ. I don't want God to leave me alone. I don't want the preacher to leave me alone. I don't want the things of God to leave me alone. Man, I want you to chase me and put the word of God on me and enlighten my soul and put some light on me. Put some water on me. Hey, leave us alone. Sad to say that I met Christians who say, leave me alone. I don't want God. I don't want God. I got two pastors' daughter, one pastor's daughter right now on the streets of Vegas. You know what she told me the other day? Just leave me alone. I said, sister, you better get out of Vegas as quick as you can, because you're going to wreck your life. I got a young man today, a pastor's son, carries a 410 slug inside his head. And his whole life lived for the acceptance of his dad. But for some reason, he couldn't get the dad's approval. And he went out in the world, went out in prison, robbed the bank in the same town where his dad pastored at. Hello? Hey, Christians are not right with God, get goofy. Amen. Oh, but thank God for loving and caring God who won't leave you alone. Thank God he doesn't leave you alone in your worst stage. He won't leave you alone. Why? He loves you. He died for you. He sent his son to Calvary, hey, to pay your sin debt. That Bible says in Psalms 18:35, my greatness is because of his gentleness. All of our stupid ways, and we get cattywampus with God, and God still has a gentle, kindness heart towards us. Woo! Somebody say amen right there. Bless God. Aren't you glad, man, when you mess your life up and stumbled your toes spiritually, the Lord just keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back, and he keeps coming back, and he keeps coming back, and he keeps coming back. Glory to God. Somebody say amen in Italian. God bless you. Italian, amen. Amen. I like him in New York, the mafia, when they kill somebody. Hey, this ain't personal, it's business. Hey. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Oh, it's going to get good here. It's going to get good here. This is what they're doing. Hey, he's trying to get them out of Egypt. He's trying to encourage them. Hey, I'm going to take care of you. Then they're going to work on Moses. Look at verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? What are you doing talking to me for? I've told you what to do. Watch what he says to Moses. He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Whew, man, what a message. You know, that preacher's job to tell you, go forward. Hey, quit backing up. Hey, quit getting cattywampus. Hey, quit getting your life messed up. Hey, quit getting hard to get along with. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Hey, one good thing, they couldn't go backwards. I ain't going back to Egypt. I live here, but I have to live. I don't have to like it. Amen. Hey, I want to encourage this morning your Christian life. Go forward. Hey, Lebanon, go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward. Okay, heartache set in, go forward. Debt set in, go forward. Cancer set in, go forward. Sickness set in, go forward. Lost your job, go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward. Hey, that's the job of the preacher. Our job here to tell you to go forward, go forward. Don't quit on God. Amen. Don't quit on God. Amen. You know how they say amen in Poland? Amenski. Everything's got SKI on it. Amenski. Hey, I want to go forward for Jesus Christ. I want to tell young folks to go forward. Don't sell your life out for the acceptance of this stinking world. Amen. Young men, hold your head up high. I don't want Hollywood dressing me. Amen. I bless you. I dress like John the Baptist. I'll give me some camel's hair and locusts and get on fire for God. Amen. With some corned beef on the side. Amen. Now, this word all changes right here. Now, God told him to go forward. I'm glad Roloff told me to go forward. I'm glad a Pete Ruckman told me to go forward. I'm glad a Jack Howes told me to go forward. I'm glad a Harry Saulnier, Pacific Garden Mission, told me to go forward. And 40 years into preaching, I want to keep telling young folks to go forward. Okay, you made some mistakes. Okay, get back up. Get back up. Get back up. I like what Jesus Christ told that woman in John chapter 8. Go and sin no more. Quit talking about your mistakes. Quit telling other people about them. And you quit talking about them. Amen. Sometimes when you live a life of self-condemnation, even though the Lord's forgiven you, you don't forgive yourself. I had a girl one time had 3 abortions by the age of 15. You know what I told her to do? I said, don't bring it up again. I said, God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. I don't want to hear about it. Amen. And by the way, when it comes time to female counseling, I turn that over to my wife. That's her job. I want know nothing about your little female personal life. They keep it out of my mind. Amen. 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 I got young men coming in, and I've had young men come in. Mother's prostituted them. Daddy's raped them. Suckers never put them in prison. Never put them in jail. I had to get those young boys and say, you got to forgive your daddy. You got to forgive your mother. You know what I try to tell them? Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. God, I'm telling someone this morning here, hey, let something go, man. Don't let it keep you back. You go forward. Quit looking on the sidelines. Quit looking back to Egypt. Amen. Psychiatrist, Dr. Phil, he couldn't answer anybody. Dr. Oprah Winfrey. She looks like a buffalo. Got an eye over here and an eye over here. Amen. I'm on the Oprah Winfrey show. Hey, I'm in the body of Christ. Give me a 2 cup. You know what I got this morning? Give me a 2 cup right there. What are you worried about this morning? You ever see that cup right there? That says in Christ. That's what Christ did for you on the cross. Man, you doubt, you got fears and factors and so forth. You know what happened to you when you got saved? You got in Christ. What's your problem? What are you fearing this morning? Well, wait a minute. You're in Christ. They're going to get you. They got to get him. Hey, I'm in Christ. Hey, I'm in Christ. Hey, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this stinking world. You know what Jesus told me the other day? He said, oh, you little faith. How do you choke the word? The devil choked the word. No, that didn't choke the word. It's the cares of this world. The devil knows how to get your mind off the Bible, get your mind off church, and get your mind on the cares of this stinking world. You know what? I got to get my mind. I got to get my mind off my problems. The other day, in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, so I just started reading. Got reading Oswald Chambers and so forth. Stayed awake all night. I started praying. Looked at 5 o'clock. I got to get up and drive. But it had more energy inside my soul. My goodness. My wife said, you stayed up late. I said, I couldn't sleep. I won't sit there and roll over and roll over. Hey, pump the word in the word. Pump it in. Pump it in. Pump it in. Pump it in. Give me more of that light. Give me more of that water. Yeah. And the children of Israel, by the way, all they had to follow with God was a cloud and a fire. But something's fixing to change. Something is fixing to change. Let me show you this morning. God gave him a divine detour. God gave him a divine detour. But look over here at verse number 19. 14:19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. Ooh. Can you imagine those 2 million Jews? Moses, where's the cloud? Moses, where's the fire? Can you imagine what just took place? That Bible says the angel of God, he didn't leave. He was just removed. Wait a minute. Your direction had been detoured. Now your protection is going to be changed. They can no longer see their protection. Now they're really scared. But Moses is right there with them. I'm going somewhere with this. Watch where the Word of God said it went. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Yeah, come on! And the pillar of the cloud, which went before their faces, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, that show that these one came not near to the other all night. What happened, ladies and gentlemen, that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire was no longer in front. Now it moved itself, and God moved it behind them. Hey, I like this. God was no longer their guide, but now He was their guard. He was going to protect them. Those are His children. And I don't care what you're going through this morning. And sometimes we get a little rough journey on the guide part. But thank God your protection, your security has been taking place through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't burn. You can't go to hell. And the devil's crowd can't get you because you're in Christ. Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes I can't see my hand in front of me, but I got news for you. In the midnight hour, Brother V, that unseen hand showed up. And I know why sometimes tracts and Bible get caught up in customs. Why? That unseen hand pushed it forward. And you don't know how it got done. I get exactly how it got done. The protection of God showed up and protected you at work, protected your family in the city. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. I know I didn't get here by myself 40 years. I should have been dead a long time ago. I remember coming off a hill one night out of Pennsylvania. I was in a spin on a 1985 LeSabre. I was on a hill coming down. I was in a spin going down. I said, okay, Uncle Lester, here I come. I thought I was going to go over the cliff, have my seatbelt on. All of a sudden, at the bottom of that hill was a patch of asphalt with no ice. At the bottom of the hill. About 50 feet. I come off that hill, went, eep! And opened my eyes. The Lord said, okay, Goofy. You ain't home yet. Get out of here. You know what happened? That unseen hand showed up. That unseen hand showed up. And you think we're so self-willed. You think you've got a law of control. No, no, no. It's that unseen hand called the Holy Ghost showed up. Amen. Amen. Three things would happen here. But before I tell you that, look at this. Look at verse 24. Let me show you a little nugget here. And it came to pass, 14:24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, that's 3 o'clock in the morning, in the morning watch, Jewish time went 12 hours. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked, and the host of Israel went through the pillar of fire and through the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and it took off the, then God took off the wheels off their chariot. That's called a sucker punch. That's called God really getting close-eyed on you. But look at verse 27. They started out 3 in the morning. Look at verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. Now it's 6 o'clock. And the Egyptians fled against the Lord overthrew that the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. For 3 hours, those Jews are crossing that Red Sea on dry land. And God told them to go forward and to look at that water. Sometimes you hear the preaching of the Word of God and it hits you and you say, man, how am I going to handle that? I can't do that. There's water in front of me. Because you guys, you got your eyes on sight. Quit looking for a husband. Ask God for a husband. Quit looking for a wife. Ask God for a wife. I think He did a good job right here, didn't He? Well, Margaret's kind of rough. I don't know. I know one thing. She don't play. She'll knock you out in Jesus' name. Forget about it. Nothing. This is place of business. This is business. She loves her brother Mike. I like that. You want me to go what? I want you to go forward. Where? I want you to go forward. Where? Where do you want me to go? He said, I want you to go forward. Where do you want me to go forward to? There's water there. God said, I'm going to take care of that. They couldn't go back. Number one, they had a light between them. That was God protecting them. They couldn't go back to Egypt. And if they got through that light, just some of them do get out of the will of God, there's a world of 600 chariots chasing you. Why do you want to go back to Egypt? Why do you want to look like Egypt? Why do you want to talk like Egypt? Yo, what's up? First time I saw a guy using gang sand, I thought he was epileptic. That's a handicap joke. I got a sister, she's got that. I took her out to eat years ago, and she's eating. She got cerebral palsy, 100% cerebral palsy, and she's eating like this. And she got a big spoon, a big old dowel, holds her hand around it. And some guy was looking at her. Her name is Debbie. And she looked over at the guy at the booth looking at her kind of funny. And she said, "What are you looking at, stupid?" Hey, man, had a little spunk to her. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And nothing wrong with that. And she's a Protestant. Amen. All I'm telling you, he said, hey, see, Israel, here's the message today. Israel only followed God when they saw something. Sight. And then God removed the sight and put it behind them. Now then there's no more sight. Now then there's a just shall live by faith. Now then I want you to move forward. Now I want you to trust Moses. Hey, aren't you glad that God sent you a shepherd? He didn't send you a hireling. He sent you a shepherd. Listen to your preacher. Listen to what he's telling you. And all sometime I beg God for the people of God that God put inside my life. I want to go forward. I want to go forward. But sometimes I can't. But all trust in my faith. Then he said over one time in the book of Matthew, "Oh, ye a little faith." You know what happens sometimes when we get little faith? We live a life of self-denial. We live a life of doubt, fear, anxiety, the blame game. We get disgruntled. Why? Because we're living off of flesh. We're living off of sight. We can't figure it out. Are you with me this morning? Then God said, let that grow and get some great faith. Get some great faith. Get some great faith. Oh, let me tell you, what I'm trying to get you this morning to do is, hey, okay, whatever situation you're in, turn that thing around. Quit trying to figure it out. Bring it to God. Say, God, would you help me put some faith on this? Would you turn this thing around? Is it somebody you need to get saved? Put some faith on it. Call their name out to God. Hey, you want that raise at work? Say, God, I need to tell the Lord, Lord, you give me a raise. You get more tithe. Hey, he's Jewish. Come on, talk to him. Forget about it. That's why I said, Lord, if you make this happen, you're going to get more for your kingdom's sake. I can see him and Jesus. What do you think? Jesus think Jack will keep his word? Amen. Hey, Jesus was a carpenter. He's a Jew. Amen. He knows how to think. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. And he knows we lack it when we see everything. And he knows we're going to have doubt when that sight is removed. When the money's gone and the health is gone. When your friends are gone and your family's gone. Sight. 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 But God says, go forward. Go forward. Go. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Go forward, boy. Go forward. Go forward. They can't go back to Egypt. They can't go back to Egypt. They can't go back to Egypt. They no longer had him as guide. Now they got him as guard. Go to Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Genesis, Exodus, Isaiah. Isaiah 52 this morning. Look at verse 12. Whew. Oh, this will bless you. This will bless you. Enter. Isaiah 52, look at verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste. Quit doing things on the spur of the moment. Quit being impulsive with your lifestyle. Spend some time in prayer about it. Hey, you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? Did you ask the Lord about it? You know what my problem is? My problem? I don't know about you. I know you're perfect. But sometimes I get too stinking self-willed. I want it now. Do you have that problem? You don't have. No, not you. I thought I was the one that had that problem. I want it now. Let's get this. Let's get it down now. You know, God has a sense of humor too. Maybe I'll let you wander around the wilderness for about 40 years. Oh, he did? He tired them out. Little suckers got mouthy. Hey, I know how the Jews talk. I got six sisters. Shut up. Oh, excuse me. Be quiet in Jesus' name. How many of y'all got an ugly sister? Raise your hand. Do you have an ugly sister? Raise your hand. Oh, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Ugly brother. I got an ugly brother. I got a sister so ugly, my mother had morning sickness after she was born. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we get in trouble, we do things very hastily. I'm preaching to myself. We do things without praying about it. We do it without checking with the shepherd. He's not a... I know some guys, rolling, make me look good. That's a preacher talking. Give me all your money, move my rawhide. Aren't you glad you don't have a rawhide pastor? Last time I saw him do was buying some bum, some cheeseburgers and a Coke. I said to myself, why did he bring me one? I'm hungry. I want more than two. I want five of them suckers. But last thing he did yesterday, he bought somebody something to eat. Last time you helped somebody like that. I didn't preach on this today, but I got a sermon called Servant Standing in the Night. Psalm 134. That Bible says those servants of the Lord, they stand in the nighttime when no one else is watching. They're standing before the Lord, working and doing something for what He wants. I know if I'm going to tell you what kind of church member I would be. I know me. I know if I'd have heard that announcement about that print shop, I'd be one of the first to put my name on that print shop. Getting quiet in here. Souls are crying, men are dying, won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Wouldn't you like to go to the Philippines? Wouldn't you like to go to Russia? Wouldn't you like to go to China? Free. It's right back here. It's called a print shop. You can put your fingerprints on the print shop. And when that person gets saved, ching, ching, up in glory. Put that one down right there for Brother John. Ching, ching. Put that one down there for the old guy with the green shirt back there. Put that down for him. He made that track. Put that down for the little widow lady. She boxed that up. Put that down for the little teenager. They put tape on that box. God just gave you some heavenly dividends. See, you can't see it right now because you got your life, the cares of this world. You and every teenager, if I was here, I'd get every one of you teenagers, I'd put you in that print shop. I'd entice you with some hot dogs or something. Hebrew Nationals. No chicken hot dogs. That's another thing wrong with your marriage. Quit buying your husband chicken hot dogs. My man eats a hot dog. Buck, 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 buck. Look at verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you. See, he thought he left it, but he was still there. Now watch the next part of that verse. I like it. And the God of Israel will be your rear guard. God's got your back. He didn't say how you acted. He's got your back. He's going to take care of you because you're his child. God doesn't take care of you because of your condition. God takes care of you because of your position.
Amen.
Your conditions change. You missed church. You didn't tithe. You didn't read your Bible. Those are conditions. Your position is you're in Christ. Whew, glory to God. When you're having a bad day, it's still good. When you're having a bad day, it's still good. And the car breaks down, you drive a Ford, it's going to break down. But oh, thank God, thank God that I'm in the valley, but thank God the God of the valley is still my God, and it's still real, and God's still there, and God blesses all the time. Lord, as the morning sunbeam, bring me warmth and light to drive away the shadows lingering from night. Your love will do the same if we will let it shine through. Lord, I want to be a blessing for someone like you. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Just perhaps, hey, a smile will do to help them on their way. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word today. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. You see, we look for the blessings. Won't you quit looking and be one? Won't you quit looking and be one? I'll close with this. I had one of our young men come in a couple months back, made $250,000 last year just selling windows in California. Had all the $900 shirts, $400 shoes. I said, man, I got a pair of shoes I wear on the driving the bus. I paid $12. They're Echoes. They're still talking to me. That was a funny one. My wife says she's going to throw away my shoes. I said, those are my driving shoes. Well, they're all ripped up. I don't give a rip. They're good on my feet. They're staying. I put my foot down when she lets me. I went to this guy's house a few years ago. Excuse me, about a year and a half ago. I walked out into the kitchen. Little 3-year-old daughter. She had heard Daddy cussing out Mommy. And she picked up one of Daddy's cuss words. And she called Mommy the cuss word in front of the whole party there for dinner. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It'll come up. Mommy, you're a... called her a B word, a female dog. And the mother looked at, honey, I'm not that, but let me talk to you about that word. Called the mother a female dog. He bowed his head. He took a little girl inside the room. Wasn't her fault. Are we listening? He got on his knees and asked God to forgive him the way he was talking to his wife. He got carnal, got fleshly. People talk different when they got money in their pocket. Had all the Mont Blancs. I used to wear a lot of $600 shoes. You know where all my nice clothes went? Kids, people. I had a girl the other day in Mississippi. Bunch of sex fiends got a hold of her. She said, Brother Jack, help! Miss Karen, help! I said, are you going to listen? She said, yes! No daddy wouldn't even buy her a ticket out of there. And Karen went in her own savings and bought her a plane ticket. Put her in another women's home. She's 20, going on about 12. She called me the other day and said, thank you for getting me out. Thanks for getting me out. I left that night. The guy called me up. He said, I've got some problems. I'm not treating my wife right. We're going to get a divorce. He said, Brother Jack, can I come to see you for 2 weeks? I said, so-and-so, will you listen to what I asked you to do? He said, yes, sir. He came 2 weeks, the dad I'm talking about, of this little girl. He came 2 weeks, and about the second week there, we started the turning, Brother Beach. See, repentance is heart turn. Repentance is a changing of quit doing what you used to do. That's repentance. That's wrong. And our turning started. I walk out that morning, get the coffee about 6. He was on his knees in the living room, reading his Bible. And I heard him crying. I heard him weeping. I left him alone. It's good to see men weep. I said, it's good to see men weep. Amen. Over their sin, over the heartache of their families. Amen. Wish some of you guys get off the couch and get your wife and kids, get them on your knees and pray with them. Cut that stupid television off. Cut that Facebook off. He said, can I stay another week? I said, sure. Can I stay another week? His boss is calling him. You got to come back to work. He said, no, I need to get right with God. I'm the top salesman there. He won't fire me. He stayed 6 weeks. You know what I got him to do? I got him to go forward. Then he went back home, got back in the house. Him and his wife got right with God. She quit doing her little things, and she was doing her little, she's walking the edge of the world. And he was reacting to her, and they both got right. Went to the pastor, talked to him, saved their marriage, back in the home. But let me tell you, the fifth week he was there, he got a little camera from his wife. And his wife walked into the little daughter's restroom, or in the bedroom that night. She's 5 years old now. And she caught the little daughter praying out loud. The little girl likes to pray out loud. And she's got a big mouth. She talks loud. And she said this, "Dear God, it's me." Called her name. "I need to talk to you, God. Would you help Brother Jack get some help in Alabama? Because I want my daddy back. I want my daddy home. I love my daddy. Would you do that, God, for this little girl? I love you, God." She went to sleep. She didn't know that her mama recorded that prayer. Sent the prayer to the dad at my ranch. And about 11 o'clock at night, I turned in early that night. I heard him in the next room crying like a little baby. I went in there and walked, knocked on his door, said, "Hey, brother, what's up?" He said, "Brother Jack, come in. I've got to do right. I've got to do right." And he pushed a button on that little phone, smartphone. I got a dummy phone. I got a pre-ignorant phone. And he pushed a button, and something was said of a little girl on her knees talking to God. I wonder today, husbands, how do you treat your wives? Wives, how do you treat your husbands? Kids, how do you treat your mom and dads? Grandkids, how do you treat your grandparents? How do you treat them? I just wonder today that God speak to your heart. Rob calls me once a week. He calls me once a week. It's his first name. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Shall we stand? Our Father, thank you for the Bible today. Our Father, pray to take home the simple truth, divine detour. And God, sometimes we get the cloud by day removed and the pillar cloud by fire removed at night. But Lord, thank you. It's good to know that you're right amongst them. You're right behind us, and you got us on radar. Lord, I'm talking to young people all over this room. I'm talking to mom and dads. Lord, I just wonder if we're just trying to get God back in the home. We're trying to get God back in the lives of teenagers. We're trying to get God back in the lives of young girls and young men for God. I just wonder today, heads bowed and eyes closed, who say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. But as you preach today, God spoke to my heart today about some area of my Christian life. Pray for me. Would you lift